Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into baseball season, just to prove it, and new ownership under new management, new hopes and dreams. Oriole Magic will be at Fadley's on Friday from 2 until 5, keeping it alive and live with Luke Jones, giving away Maryland Lottery scratch-offs. Maybe not these 10 times the cashers. Might have the Pac-Mans by then if Roz and I work it out. We'll also be at Costas on Tuesday from about 11 till 2. I thought I might have some special guests be opening early on Tuesday, but the special guests will be Oriole Baseball. 2 o'clock, come by, have a soft crab sandwich, have some Oysters Rockefeller, have some Crab Imperial. I could feel like the king of Baltimore media. Speaking of that, 25th anniversary documentary, No One Listens. Everyone hears, and you're listening right now, but you're not listening because of me. You're listening because Luke Jones is here, fresh off of and wiping the sand out of his eyes, and not Mr. Fuji sand, from a another night of wrestling in Philadelphia, no less. Dude, I text you at 2 o'clock. You and your brother could have picked me up, and we could have gone up there. It was a mild enough night. I could have worn my Oriole jacket. Would have been fun. We could have taken some pictures and had some beverages. Why didn't you go to WrestleMania? Dude, like, I'm personally disappointed. I'm pissed at you for not going, honestly.
Well, you mentioned that scenario. I'd also need to bring my binoculars so I could actually see the ring from sitting on the roof. But no, I mean, I thought of it. I really thought of it once the Rock was back in the picture, although he wrestled on Saturday night, as WrestleMania has become this two-night affair, which I think was always going to happen, but COVID, you know, really accelerated the timeline for that happening.
And two decent nights of weather in Philly in early April. The Phillies don't even count on that. I mean, even the 76ers go inside, you know?
It was cold Saturday night, though. I mean, and they were even talking about it. The commentators, I mean, Michael Cole, who has been their longtime voice, he had a winter hat on and all of that, but... But yeah, I mean, it was a fun show. I know at a couple points we've talked about this. We talked about this last year. I mean, this was they ran it back, the main event of WrestleMania a year ago, which was Roman Reigns, who had been champion for the better part of the last 4 years, undisputed champion for a large stretch of that point, against Cody Rhodes, Dusty Rhodes, yeah, American Dream's son, and Cody finished his story on Sunday night. And there were a lot of run-ins. There was a lot of, this bloodline storyline had gone on for 4 years and really longer than that. If you kind of want to think back to, you know, The Rock, the Wild Samoans, Yokozuna. I mean, so many great members of that family dynasty, you know, that Samoan family, and, you know, what they've meant for WWE, what they've meant for professional wrestling. So it's been this multi-year storyline that has been as good as any storyline. You know, it's right up there amongst the
best
storylines.
Just so you know, I went to the Baltimore Civic Center and I got the ticket stubs. I saw the High Chief, Peter Maivia,
sure,
do his thing and slap his legs. And he had these tattoos nobody even in East Baltimore had ever seen. Now, when I go to the West Coast, I'm the only guy west of the Mississippi without a tattoo. When I fly across St. Louis, when I see the Gateway Arch, I'm the only guy without a tattoo west. But Peter Maivia was like, we'd never seen anything like that before in 1978. So, and I knew Rocky Johnson was from the wrestling magazines. He came here later, but he was, you know, a very active sort of a mid-Atlantic NWA wrestler, did other turns in other places. But like that family, I mean, I'll talk about them. This would be like talking about Bruno's kid to me, right? And Dusty Rhodes, you know, legendarily how I wrote to Randy Blair with my sports dream in 1981 of meeting the American Dream. Didn't happen. But and I didn't even go to those matches down at the Capitol Center when he had that bull whip match with Billy Graham. I mean, like, there's great old matches that I had to come to your house and steal your WWE programming thing on the interweb so I could watch some of these matches, or steal your password. It won't work anymore. But
on Peacock, right? Yeah, yeah. So, but just to give you a little more context, because Roman Reigns, when I say that to you, probably doesn't mean it. His father is Sika from the Wild Samoans.
Apple, not Sika.
Yeah, Sika.
Well, there's a link to the captain, the guy. You know what it was? It's the guiding light of Lou Albano that's still shining down upon Philadelphia all these years later.
Yeah, so but I mean that there's so much history. There's been so much history with this storyline, and so the way they did it on Saturday night, the main event for Saturday night, because yeah, I don't want to be too long-winded about this, but I'll give you a thumbnail. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, had plans to come back, and the initial vision when he returned, and the company's initial vision when he was going to return, because they've been trying to do this for years. There's been this soft build for a long time of The Rock coming back and wrestling Roman Reigns in the main event at WrestleMania. Well, the WWE Universe, as it is apt to do, made their voice heard when that plan started to come into fruition. The fans called BS because they wanted Cody Rhodes, who had won the Royal Rumble for the second straight year. They wanted Cody to finish his story, which his story goes back to Dusty Rhodes having a match at Madison Square Garden. Of course, Dusty wasn't a WWF guy. We know that. But, back in the late 70s, he actually held, I guess at that point would have been the WWWF title in his hands. He didn't officially win it, but the story that they were telling over the course of the last couple of years and why Cody Rhodes had returned to WWE after being this guy who, had been a mid-carder in WWE, had never really found his legs as a main event guy.
Now
He went off.
he was not Gold Dust. That was Dustin Rhodes,
That's
correct?
correct. Correct. And Dustin's still wrestling in AEW at this point in time. But
By the way,
Cody.
one of my executive producers at Sporting News Radio and 101 Sports was a guy named Dustin Rhodes in
There you go.
1999. So it was the greatest thing ever that he had that name. But
Yeah.
yes.
But, this was 7, 8 years ago. Cody left WWE and he basically said, you know what? I'm kind of stuck here. I'm not a main event guy. I don't deserve to be a main event guy just yet, but I feel like I can be that guy. He left and he did Ring of Honor. He wrestled in Japan. He was a visionary that helped start AEW. But a couple years ago, he returned to WWE and it's been a game changer for him.
Well,
It's been a
it's
game
also
changer for
hold on.
WWE.
The whole thing's different in the way that, well, this will bring it full circle. As I sit here in a Curio shirt that's purple, like the Ravens. I mean, I got a football owner that literally ran for me on the veranda 2 weeks ago, where there's no sort of talking about who runs it. Nobody can ask questions. They put Sashi in front of you for 5 minutes. The baseball team here was run by Peter Forever, and there was always just a lower expectation of what could ever be possible. With Peter and John Angelos running the team after 30 years, they ran it a certain way. And you could predict. I mean, literally, you could predict most of it. I mean, some of it you couldn't predict, but the awfulness of all of it became predictable. WWF and the WWF and the WWE. And when I talk about the high chief Peter Maivia, it was Vince McMahon's dad making those matches back in 78, and then Vince made those matches, and nobody else ever made a match, ever made a star, or decided whether you were going to be a star, a zero, or a hero. At least in tennis, you go out, you hit the ball, you get to be a star. Golf, you're Tiger Woods, you're not cheating. But in wrestling was a fixed sport, like, right? Now, let alone Zaharian and the drugs and the territories and sort of the mafia sort of mentality of mine, yours, don't cross that line. If you leave, you can't come back. All of that stuff that went on in the 60s and 70s that we talk about baseball and free agency and the reserve clause. Wrestling is a closed shop for a long time. And if Vince looked at you and said, I didn't like your father, or I don't like you, or you had a problem, or you didn't get along with somebody, or whatever. I mean, Vince was notoriously that guy, right? Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. So when I think about a guy like this that didn't get a chance, now has a chance, the first thing I would ask an expert like you or Alex Marvez would be, you get pushed in this sport, right? But there really is a click factor, right? You get heat, you sell tickets, people know it, there's clicks on the internet. Now there's ways to measure whether you're Bob Backlund and you're just not the right guy anymore, or whether you're Hulkamania. And I thought about this. I mean, you've had me thinking about wrestling this week. WrestleMania. And I'm thinking, what a weird thing to call your Super Bowl, WrestleMania, right? And, for a kid, they'd say, why do they call it that? Well, Hulkamania was the thing, right? And 40 years later, that's Hulk Hogan's gift, right? Like we call it the Lombardi Trophy, right? After after a famous coach from that era, WrestleMania is really named after Hulk Hogan, kind of sort of. And it took me a while to figure that out. But a long-winded way of saying it was Cuba, it was Putin's Russia forever. To some degree, when you see a Rhodes family member leave and come back and have this success, and I know Vince has been a part of it more recently than I probably realized, but when I think about WrestleMania from the outside, I think Vince isn't in control of it anymore. I mean, it's almost like thinking of Cuba as a democracy.
Yeah, I mean, he's out of the picture entirely. I mean, there's, plenty of outside the ring, outside the, outside the realm of the business or kayfabe or anything like that. I mean, it's ugly. Google it. I don't want to put a damper on WrestleMania talk. But by the way, Howard Finkel, I recently came across, just this past weekend. It sounds like the Fink was actually the one who coined that. And obviously it was based off of Hulkamania, but Vince wanted to call, I forget what my brother's probably in the other room yelling out what it would be, but Vince wanted to call it something else.
Well, there was Starcade.
But the point, to bring it back to Cody Rhodes, though, and look, this wasn't a case of WWE disliked him. He had been Intercontinental Champion. Now, Intercontinental Champion in 2014 did not carry the same cachet as Macho Man Randy Savage having it in 1986.
Well, I think of Ted DiBiase and the great Don Morocco, and I actually thought of Tito Santana yesterday because he, you're getting me to think about people, and now
sure,
I'm talking out loud, and all these behind the wrestling ring things are going to show up on my timeline now, so I'm ready to watch wrestling for the next 6 weeks.
Right, but basically where they were with Cody Rhodes and where he felt like he was at that point in his career was he had kind of, I don't want to call it a glass ceiling, but there was very much a perception that Cody was not going to be a main event guy. Cody was not going to be a world champion. There was a B-plus player, B player, whatever it would be, right? It's not pass fail as though you're a guy or you're not a guy. There's degrees to it, right? I mean, are you going to be
He's
a guy
got more
that,
of a Jamie Moyer thing going on is what you're saying.
I mean, but that was the perception, and Cody wanted to carve out something more meaningful, he wanted to become a star, and he left, and he wrestled in Japan, and he wrestled in Ring of Honor, and he elevated that company, and he went other places, and was a babyface at times, was a heel at times, and kind of joined up with the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega, and a group called the Elite, which again, that kind of along with Tony Khan of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Shad Khan's son, they created AEW. And so Cody, when he left AEW, that was kind of considered shocking. The thought was he was a main guy that was trying to not take down the WWE, but put a dent in them, let's say. Carve into what had been absolutely a
monopoly. Well, that would be
monopoly.
His dad's legacy, right? His dad was a matchmaker at the end of his life and a promoter, right?
Right. But Cody still had this dream of, no pun intended there, of becoming WWE champion. And thinking back to the story of his father wrestling at Madison Square Garden and holding the title unofficially for a few moments, but not actually, it wasn't actually a title win. So they had, and WWE saw what Cody had done as he was going off and making himself a star and doing the things he was doing behind the scene. I mean, All In, which was even, that was the predecessor, that predated the creation of AEW. They sold out an indie show in Chicago. It was a bet. It was actually a bet with Dave Meltzer, the famous Wrestling Observer reporter, that Cody and the Young Bucks, and they did this. So he had done all these things, and it got to a point where WWE wanted it and Cody wanted it, where it was time to come home, so to speak. The prodigal son returns and returned a bigger star than ever when he returned at WrestleMania 2 years ago. Last year, won the Royal Rumble, wrestles Roman Reigns, comes up short. Roman Reigns is his stable. The bloodline had interfered and cost Cody the match. So there was a thought that was going to run it back. Go back to what I was talking about before. Rock comes back after years of speculation of whether he was going to wrestle Roman Reigns at WrestleMania at some point. Plans were in place. The wheels were in motion that it was going to be Rock versus Roman in the main event. the fans basically called BS on it. You know, Cody, we want Cody was a hashtag that was trending on Twitter, X, whatever, for a few days back in late January. There was a press conference that they actually had Super Bowl week in Las Vegas, and the wheels were in motion then to pivot because they saw very clearly, and to The Rock's credit, he also saw clearly in saying, the fans want Cody Rhodes. So what they did, they morphed it. Rock turns heel. He joins Roman Reigns. They did a tag match on night one as the main event. It was Rock
Rock's
and Roman
a heel?
Reigns. Yeah, he turned heel. Oh, the final boss is his new
character.
You know,
by the way, he's in the 25th anniversary documentary. He is an alum. Cool. And you mentioned Meltzer. Meltzer's been on the show. Vince has been on the – like, when I think about this crazy thing I've done here, all these names you're dropping, I've sat with these people, had them on, like the whole deal. Rock called me a jabroni at the Super Bowl.
There you go.
He did.
There you go.
Because I challenged him. I got tough with him, and he called me a jabroni.
He said, what is your name? It doesn't matter what your name is. But this storyline is just, it's been so good. The Rock has been engaged in it. I think he was on WWE TV 7 straight weeks, you know, promoting this and cutting promos and getting involved. And I think we're going to see a Rock-Cody match now that Cody's won the title as he won it on Sunday night. But night one was Rock and Roman Reigns as cousins tagging up to face Cody and Seth Rollins, who was the other world champion. There's two world champions, you know, the brand split and all the different stuff they do with WWE. But Rock and Roman won on night one. So the stipulation was if they won, it was bloodline rules for night two, the main event, Cody against Roman, which basically meant a no DQ, right? I mean, they made it sound like it was this fancy thing. It was no DQ. So there were run-ins. Members of the bloodline, including The Rock, tried to interfere on Roman's behalf. But Cody also had past wrestlers, you know, guys that have feuded with the bloodline. But also John Cena did a run-in. The Undertaker did a run-in. And it was kind of just...
Did they have guys in Philadelphia Eagle Mil Mascaris masks? What was that all about? Was that, Kelsey
that was,
involved
in
this?
Jason Kelsey and Lane Johnson did a run-in as masked luchadors that helped Rey Mysterio win on night one. You know, they did that as well. But all of this main event on Sunday night...
Everybody knew it was Kelsey?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he pulled off the mask then. I mean, I you know, they wore a green mask. I think there had been speculation that he was going to be on the show. But, you know, but this main event on night two was the culmination.
How do you just go past Kelsey in Philadelphia in a wrestling ring in a mask and act like that's not a big part of the weekend?
I'm speaking about it as a wrestling fan.
You're too close to this. You're too close to this. You're taking this too seriously.
You're the one who wanted to talk to me about WrestleMania. Look, I love Kelsey. It was cool. It was a cool moment. It's 15th on the list of things that I liked about WrestleMania. You know, like,
okay, all right.
No, it was great, but it wasn't. He didn't do this in the main event. This was Rey Mysterio was in a tag match against
his
son.
Cameo. I got
no. It was cool. Don't get me wrong, but no, like it was just the main event with Cody and beating Roman Reigns. I mean, it was this multi-year storyline that came to a culmination. You had other wrestlers and. That did run-ins. You had past wrestlers that did run-ins. I mean, it was just
is Ric
it was
Flair
really
there?
Good. He was not. He was not. Ric Flair's
Stacey
been a little
Keebler
more...
there.
No.
So
no.
All the Hall of Famers don't come back, and they don't make a big fuss about that.
I mean, they come back on occasion. They didn't, but they didn't do it. They weren't there.
No, I don't know
night.
If they bring yeah. like I'm assuming there's 100 people in the Hall of Fame now. I
no, they did a Hall of Fame induction was Friday night. In fact, Leah Maivia, Peter's.
Okay.
Peter's wife, who after he passed away, she ran the promotion Polynesian Pro Wrestling out of Hawaii, you know, for a number of years. She was inducted, and The Rock actually gave the induction. She passed away, you know, 10 years ago, somewhere okay. along those lines. But The Rock inducted her. Paul Heyman was inducted into the Hall of Fame. Paul Heyman's Roman Reigns' manager. He's the wise man. You know, he's his manager. So it was really well done. Little corny probably, but like in a good way. And
see, I attended a Hall of Fame in Philadelphia in, you got to tell me, 94, 5, 6, somewhere in there. I was with Kevin Eck. It was before he worked for WWF, WWE, even before he worked for TNT. And we went up to Philadelphia together. It was at the Marriott downtown. Mm-hmm. Beautiful ballroom. Fabulous Moolah.
Okay.
Ivan Putski. Just off the top of my head,
this was one of
the Hall of Fame that year. But it was like the first year or the second year was really maybe Arnold Skolin. I mean, it was really early on. Gino Monsoon was there and alive that night. But it was before I did. It was before The Rock and Mick Foley may have been a part of the storyline around that period of time. But it was even, I think, before Stone Cold. So it was like pretty early on. I think
1995.
95. You looked it up. You got
I
it
looked
front
at,
of you.
You said Fabulous Moolah, right? I mean,
yeah,
it was 95,
was in
which
Philadelphia, which they did him in different places even then because they were moving
right.
WrestleMania around. WrestleMania was a real, it was 10 years old at that point. Yeah.
Right. And back then, the Hall of Fame was kind of a separate entity in terms of the induction ceremony. Now it's become part of, for years, it's been part of WrestleMania weekend. But
is
95.
Is there a place you go in Connecticut and get off the highway and visit a Hall of Fame or no?
No, that is, that's actually been a real kind of talking point, sticking
point. You make
point.
A lot of money on that. If
yeah.
It's
I mean,
those in
well,
Manhattan or something,
interestingly
you know?
Enough, there's been a series on A&E. A&E is part of the television contract for WWE. They do, biography shows. They've done shows on some of the greatest rivalries in WWE history. But one of the shows has actually been, kind of a loose reality TV kind of show of they try to track down basically lost wrestler memorabilia. And a lot of people have seemed to think the end game there, part of the marketing there and everything, is to kind of gauge what kind of demand, what kind of interest there would be in having a literal brick and mortar WWE Hall of Fame. Yeah, what they've basically done.
They
I mean,
got
they
a guy in Philly that has belts and stuff, right? I've seen that on South
yeah,
Street.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
and
there's...
by the way, I was in, no kidding, dude. I should have taken some pictures. I was in a, not a pawn shop because it's different than that in Las Vegas. It's not a pawn shop. It's an antique shop in Las Vegas that has stuff. They had beautiful pieces that were in the Hard Rock Hotel that were art of Led Zeppelin, the $600, put it on the wall. It's beautiful, right? And not replicated, legitimate stuff. There was a whole wrestling wing in this particular one I went in where there were like belts and there was stuff and there was like, high ticket, $1,200, $1,500 items that you'd want in your man cave.
Right. So, I mean, what they've done is they have a fan fest, fan experience at WrestleMania every year. And they've actually gotten to the point where they're starting to do with some of their other bigger shows, they're doing more of that. So I think there's a thought of, do we just have exhibits and displays and that can be mobile in the way that, okay, we're based out of Connecticut, but we're a global company. I mean, they just did a pay-per-view in Australia back in February.
That's
I mean,
why
they
I
do.
Think if they put it in Manhattan, they had the bar up there for a while.
Yeah,
like
I mean,
if they put it someplace where everybody could get to it and get through it, that it
yeah.
would be something I would pay $30 if they
Right.
had a wax of Bruno Sammartino I could take. Seriously, man. Like,
sure. I mean,
do it.
they...
You and I walked through the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I think it's kind of crazy that they don't have something like that because people would really dig it.
I've thought that too. I mean, they literally have sculptures / statues of some of the all-time greats. There's an Andre one. There's a Dusty Rhodes one. I mean, Cody Rhodes, bringing it back to WrestleMania 40 this weekend. I mean, he's been photographed next to the statue of Dream.
Well, part of this is now that Vince is out of the way, all the bougie gets out of the way, and they can probably conduct business normally, and these guys can get autograph money, and Hulk Hogan can come once a year, and if it was in New York, they could have wrestlers there every Saturday. I mean, like, they could really turn it into something that would be something I would want to do, right? Because I'm not going to sit and watch wrestling. I mean, I might have come over to your house and watched WrestleMania if you would have pre-told me that all of this cool stuff was going down, and I might dig it. But I would have dragged you to Philadelphia, and I'm again, I begin and end with booey on you. You know what I mean? I can't believe you didn't go,
Yeah. I mean, I definitely thought about it, but I enjoyed watching it. And, I'll leave you with, a line that sounds corny to someone that's not a wrestling fan, but, Cody winning the title, there was a lot going on. They had wrestlers come out and celebrate with them. It was very old school in that way. They put them up on their shoulders, which you don't see that, you haven't seen that kind of, I don't even want to say it was organic because it wasn't organic,
hero,
but
right,
they're at least trying to make it feel organic in that way. But Michael Cole said it, and here's a perfect example of where things have changed with Vince McMahon no longer being. Vince famously had all these odd to flat out bizarre rules about what they could call things. You know, you couldn't say the word wrestling. It was sports entertainment. You couldn't say a championship belt. It was the title. Like, just idiotic stuff, quite frankly. But Michael Cole, one of the last things that was said on commentary as Cody's celebrating in the ring with his family, with all these other wrestlers, he's looking up to the heavens, thinking about his father, obviously. Michael Cole, who has been in WWE since the mid-90s, you could tell he's emotional. You know, he's quite fond of Cody Rhodes as a person and also as a performer. But he said, God, I love professional wrestling. And in the old days with Vince, and it's not even that, it's fairly recent, something like that would have never been able to fly. You know, I mean, he would have been yelling in his ear. Michael Cole dealt with Vince McMahon in his ear for 3 decades. But just that moment, the culmination of what was a really fun weekend of wrestling, and, you know, a new champion for the, you know, first time in almost 4 years. You know, Roman Reigns had that title for a really long time. Really cool moment. Really cool. And certainly for us nerdy wrestling fans, you know, it, I won't say it's still real to me, but I get caught up in kayfabe in the moment, you know, and can enjoy a moment, even though I know how the sausage is made, so to speak. It was really neat. And Michael Cole summed it up as wrestling fans finished up the weekend, seeing Cody Rhodes holding up the WWE title. I love professional wrestling and very much enjoyed the show over the weekend.
You know, I'm trying to find the picture of, oh, there it is. I think maybe I just found it. I did find it. There was an Inside Wrestling magazine, and I'm going to pull this up for you to see. It's actually out on YouTube, but there's this picture of Dusty. There's an egg on his belt. There's like, they're dumping beer and drinks over his head. It's mm-hmm. Inside Wrestling, December 1978. I finally found it. And that's what I'm thinking about when you're like, old school celebration. That was a famous cover of a wrestling right. magazine where Dusty finally beat Harley Race to win the title because Harley was always the guy. So there you go. There's my, I don't know, that's almost 50 years ago, 46 years ago that happened, 45 years ago now. We're all getting older, that I remember things like this. So even I can partake in the American dream. And it was things like that that led me to write to Randy Blair at Channel 13 as my sports dream was to meet Dusty Rhodes. And that's true.
There you go. Wherever he was watching from, Dusty Rhodes certainly had to be proud of his baby boy who did all this, leaving WWE and then coming back and becoming the star that he felt he could be. To his credit, he did it. And he's now, you know, we're going to see how this goes. He's the new face of WWE, and they needed that, you know, on the heels of, you know, John Cena still stops by every now and then, but is very much no longer a full-time guy, you know? So there's a spot there, you know, for Cody to become the baby face, the face of WWE, and kind of already had become that guy over the last year or so, but he's the champ now. So, you know, the hunter becomes the hunted, and, you know, we'll see how it plays out, but it was a lot of fun. It definitely was. And definitely had a little bit of everyone. I'll spare you some of the details of some of the booking and creative decisions and everything. But overall, I was quite pleased with how it played out. I thought it was fun.
I found it. I can buy it for $25 on eBay right
go.
Now. There it is. The title goes from Race to Rhodes, Wrestling's Most Turbulent Week. It was December 1979. I sound like Keith Brewer from the Ravens doing the narration for my 25th anniversary documentary, which does have The Rock in it. I got to go put Vince McMahon in it now that I'm thinking about it when I think about leadership. You're helping me make the documentary better later for the week. Greg Landry from Towson Transfers and Blue Rock Productions is putting that together. We're talking wrestling. We're talking baseball. We're talking football for sure. Liars Luncheon is this week. Remind everybody, because I will, that I named it the Liars Luncheon, and now that they've thrown me out of it, it really is appropriate. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive. Come see us at Fadley's on Friday.